Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic presidential candidate was in the area this week. Let's go in depth with Congressman John Delaney from Maryland. So, John, you've been to all 99 counties in your run for the presidency.
I have, and it's been a great experience. It took us about a year to do it, we finished up the end of the summer, and so it was great. Had an opportunity. We did a couple hundred events. Had an opportunity to talk to Iowans all over the state. And it's been a really valuable experience for me.
And what have you learned? I mean, I'm sure you've learned all kinds of things. What are the most important things you've learned?
Well, I think Iowa Democrats are very focused on winning, as they should. That's probably the thing that comes up most often, which is whether it be here in Iowa or across this country, how do Democrats start winning more elections? And so the fact that they're very focused on that is something I've learned. But it's also, you know, traveling around the state has been a great reminder of all the change that's happened in this country because, you know, as we all know, the world has changed really fast over the last several decades, as has the country and as has this state. And we didn't do the kind of things we should have done to prepare our country for it. And you see it in this state. You see communities that have been struggling and falling behind, and you see places that are doing really well, and you realize there are things we could have done to make this transition much more successful.
And what are some of those things?
Well, we should have created incentives for people to invest in communities that were losing jobs because of globalization. You know, last year, about 80% of the startup capital and new companies went to 50 counties in this country. Forget about the 99 counties in Iowa. There's 3,000 counties in the United States, and 50 of them got 80% of the new startup capital for new businesses. And that's just a terrible failure of public policy. We let that happen. I mean, there are things we should have done to ensure that jobs were being created all over this country. And we've definitely created a lot of jobs in this country, but the problem is they weren't necessarily created in places that lost jobs. So the pains of globalization and technological innovation, which has been a blessing to so many people in this country and around the world, there's been a lot of pain in certain communities in this country, and it's just a tragedy that we let it happen the way it did because it didn't have to play out this way. So that story is told all around Iowa, as you know. You go to small towns and you go to the town squares, and the composition of those town squares has changed a lot in the last several decades. People are very anxious. They're worried about whether their kids are going to have jobs in their communities. They're seeing the mental health crisis, the depression, the suicide rate around this country. You know, for 3 years in a row, the life expectancy in the United States of America has gone down, which is extraordinary if you think about it. 2018, in a country as wealthy as ours, with the amazing innovations we have in medicines and life sciences and healthcare, that we live in a country where the life expectancy has gone down now for three straight years. So there's been a lot of pain in this country, even though there's also been a lot of blessings and a lot of amazing innovations that have improved our lives. And so it's time for us to actually work together and start solving some of these problems. And I think that's what Iowans really are looking for. I mean, my view is leadership is a question of what's next. And good leaders should be able to answer that with clarity and with a sense of purpose as to what the future of their community or this country is. And I believe I have a real specific plan for what's next. And it's a brighter future. It's one where we work together and start doing real things that we have to do to prepare our country for this change.
When you bring a unique perspective in this and on this to being a very successful businessman. Yeah. And so I read something this morning I wanted to ask you about, and it was about post-World War II. When they were, you know, they'd just come out of a world war, just come out of a depression.
Right.
And that the corporate leadership of America, they wanted to make sure that America was going to recover and they were going to invest in our communities, mm-hmm. in our workers. And it was a very different thing then.
Yes.
Now it's all about the bottom line and what you can get for shareholders. And there's not always that corporate investment in the communities mm-hmm. that we used to get. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it is true. I think, particularly after the Second World War and the horror that was for the whole world, I think corporate leaders felt a real responsibility. to make sure that they were investing in their workers, paying them well, and investing in their communities. And that's changed. You know, capital has become so mobile, right? It can pick up and move anywhere, that it's kind of disconnected. I mean, you see so many corporations who are headquartered in a certain town, but their CEOs live on the other side of the world, right? It's just a very mobile workforce. It's a very mobile set of corporate leaders, and it's eroded those bonds between communities and their companies. Now, you see places here, like the first time we met was in Pella, and they have some companies that seem really committed to those communities. So, we shouldn't indict everyone, but there definitely has to be a greater sense of common purpose in this country, where whether you're an elected official, a corporate CEO, a leader of a university, a union leader, you know, whatever organization you're running, you should feel a sense of a fiduciary obligation to make sure that the communities you're part of are thriving, and you should work together and do things to make it happen. If you go around this world and you see places that are doing well economically, you always find the government, the business community, and the nonprofit sector working really well together. When they all basically view themselves as being in it together, where they should work together to solve the problems in their communities, healthcare, education, job training, homelessness, whatever the case may be, when they're working well together on those things, you get really good outcomes.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with presidential candidate and Congressman John Delaney from Maryland. Well, in our small towns, all of our small towns in our listening area, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that in small
towns.
Yeah,
you can.
But apparently we can't in larger cities and nationally.
Yeah, I mean, larger cities are a different story, right? Because most of the larger cities in this country have done pretty well over the last several decades. Right, because a lot of the growth in this economy has been service sector driven, and a lot of service sector jobs tend to be located in larger cities. So if you look at the big cities in this country, New York, Washington, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, you know, Phoenix, San Francisco, all these places have enjoyed pretty good runs. They have their own set of issues. Affordable housing is a huge problem in places like that because, you know, it's hard for people to afford living near their job, and they're commuting a couple hours, and they can't get home and read to their kids at night, and it's destroying the fabric of communities. But they've got a different set of issues. But it's just a realization that, I believe in this notion of kind of a social compact, where we're actually, we build institutions in our society to support young people so that they have a shot, like I have. You know, I grew up in a blue-collar family. My dad was an electrician, but my dad's union paid for me to go to college. But for a bunch of electricians reaching into their pocket, you know, I would have never gotten a great education. That education changed my life. And we need to get back to a time where these important institutions in society are really focused on giving people the helping hand they need to live the American dream.
Well, part of our society thinks there's givers and takers, and people that need help are takers. And I just hear that quite frequently, but that isn't my perception of the world. It's a lot of people are working, some of us are struggling, some of us aren't.
Right.
How do we get beyond that?
Well, you need leadership. I mean, you have to address that head on. And, you know, I talk about the fact that, like, you know, I worked really hard. I got a great education. I became a successful business person. I was the youngest CEO in the history of the New York Stock Exchange. Now I'm a member of Congress and I'm running for president. You know, that sounds like an American dream life, and it is. But I look back at not only these electricians that paid for my education, but things like when I drive home from the Capitol every night to my house in Maryland, I actually go through Virginia because it's faster to go that way. I actually go over the Memorial Bridge and then go up what's called the George Washington Parkway, and then I go back into Maryland to get to my house. And when I go over the Memorial Bridge every night, I look at Arlington Cemetery. And it's pretty obvious to me that unless a bunch of people gave their lives, you know, on the beaches of D-Day, I would have none of the opportunities I've had. So this notion that there's givers or takers or there's people who add more value to society than others is just such a shallow and short-sighted way of looking at who we are as a people. You know, I think we all have a stewardship obligation to try to leave the world a better place than we found it. If you're fortunate enough to be successful and blessed enough to be successful, you basically have a greater obligation. And I think we just have to get back to that notion of common purpose, that this is much bigger than any of us individually. Like, what we're trying to build in this country is just bigger than any of us individually. And I think we used to have more of that. And I think we've lost that. There's a selfishness that has affected this country in the last several decades, I think. And I think we've got to break from that. But I'm optimistic. I see a lot of young people coming into the world these days and being very engaged in trying to do things to make the world a better place. And so, you know, I remain an optimist.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a crowded Democratic field, like maybe 20 people running for president.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah, do you think that's going to happen? That's what everybody says.
That's what everyone says. So I have no ability to speculate anything other than that. So I go with that. Although I can tell you, as someone who's done 99 counties and has been out here for a year, it's, you know, you need to make a serious commitment to this. I mean, one of the reasons I didn't run for re-election is I've served in the Congress, as you know, since 2012, and I'm in my third term. And I decided not to run for my seat again because I want to be the president. And I want to spend time talking to people and telling them why I'm the right person for the job. And I didn't see how I could do both of those things. Because running for president in this country with the world we're in now is more than a full-time job. So I think, you know, people are going to have to make a decision whether they're willing to make the commitment they need to do this. Because to do this the right way, you've got to get out there and you've got to meet with people. You just can't become the president by giving sound bites on cable news. You have to get out there and meet with people so that they can figure out what's in your heart and what's in your head.
So what's the, I don't know, what's the surprised you about Iowa? Anything?
Well, listen, I knew that this would be a very well-informed set of voters, but I've been surprised on the upside. I mean, about how knowledgeable people are in this state about the important issues of the day. And I think that's great. I mean, I was at an event last night with the Woodbury County Democrats, and one of the first questions is about universal basic income. And I was like, all right, now we're talking. You know, that's the kind of stuff we should be talking about. Whether you agree with that or not is a different question. But the fact that technology, automation, and artificial intelligence are going to have a profoundly disruptive effect on our workforce, and how do we think about that? Those are the kind of things we should be talking about, right? And so when you come to Iowa, you actually find yourselves in those conversations in a brew pub, right, on a Sunday night, sitting around the table with 20, 25 Iowans, and one of the first questions is about whether we should have universal basic income. So I think it's great.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with presidential candidate and Congressman John Delaney from Maryland. I told you last time we were here that I spoke with you, I asked you about the price of corn and beans and said that everybody needs to know the price of corn and beans if you're going to run for president in Iowa.
$3.75 and $9.12.
Okay. It means you understand the, you know, at least the relationships, the importance of agriculture to the economy. And what are people telling you about the trade wars?
Well, they don't like them, and they're right, because it's hurting Iowa farmers. I've been a little surprised that they're not more upset about them than I think they should be. And I think there's still some sense of faith that there's a plan here, which I don't see any semblance of a plan. But I think it's serious. I mean, look, China is a very, very serious issue for this country. I mean, we are in the early stages of effectively a second Cold War. If you look at the influence campaigns the Chinese are trying to run in this country, what they're doing on university campuses, what they're doing militarily in the South China Sea, and what they're doing economically. And we diverge from them in a very significant way as it relates to the values that we think are important in building the world order. So this is a very, very serious issue. I think the president, you know, at some level, I guess, is right for saying that we have a big issue with China, but I think he's diagnosed the issue completely wrong. And what he's the way he's proposed to deal with it is not going to work, right? You need a totally different approach to deal with China. So, you know, I talk a lot about trade because I was one of the few Democrats to support the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which President Obama worked hard to try to do. And it would have been good for us economically. It would have been good for agriculture, in particular. Tom Vilsack, when he was the Secretary of Agriculture, was a really strong proponent of this. And he was very effective on the Hill working with it. But it would have been very good for us from a geopolitical national security perspective, because if China is our big issue, we ought to be competing with them in their backyard, which is what the Trans-Pacific Partnership was about. And so when I talk to Iowans, a lot of them get it. And a lot of them understand that engaging from a trade perspective is good for our country and it's good for agriculture. But I have been a little surprised that more Iowans haven't really dialed into the misguided nature of what the president's doing and how it's hurting folks here in Iowa.
Give us your last best pitch. Why should people, Democrats, consider caucusing for you? We're a ways out yet, but maybe even Republicans, independents, consider your presidential run and take it seriously.
Well, first of all, I want to tackle what I think is the central issue facing this country, which is how do we take this terribly divided nation where American has been pitted against American, and how do we start bringing our nation back together around a sense of unity and common purpose? I think that's the most important issue facing this country, because unless we get back to that, the future that's available to us is way worse than it could be. I mean, there's so many things we need to do to prepare our country for a world that's changing so rapidly. And the only way we'll do these things is if we do them all together. And that's why I'm running for president, to be the president who can actually bring this nation back together, which doesn't mean we agree with each other on everything, but to restore a sense that we're in this together and that we have to work together to build the future that we deserve and can have. And that's why I'm running for president. I believe the most important question someone ought to be able to answer to voters is, why are you running? What's, you know, why are you doing that? What do you think is next for our country? And my view in terms of what's next for our country is a country that's more unified, where our leaders are civil and respectful and tell the truth. Some of the things we're going to hear about this week when we go through George Bush's memorial, right? A set of values, even if you don't agree with them, that he brought to the job. And then is someone committed actually to be honest about our issues, honest about our solutions, and get real things done, find that common ground that's needed to get real things done to build that better future? Those are the reasons I'm running for president, and I've got the right background and set of experiences to do it. Blue-collar kids, self-made, successful entrepreneur, and now public servant to do it. So that's why people should caucus. They want a better future. If the answer in terms of what's next to them is a country that's more divided, where we more have honor from our public servants, and where we're actually getting real things done to prepare our country for the future, they should caucus for me. And that's why I want them to caucus for me.
Thanks to Congressman Delaney for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com. On demand or for download, just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.